when they come back, that this has happened through them in Jesus' name. And he's saying, no, nothing will harm you. Later, Jesus says this, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up his plunder. Don't be deceived here. The strong man is, in fact, the picture of the devil. And the stronger one is Jesus Christ. This finally took place at the cross. We are involved in a battle with a strong man, but we are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory, because this battle has already been won, and we are on the winning side. Colossians 2 says this, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge and of legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. We see both aspects of the work of the cross here in the scripture, the forgiveness of sin, but also the overthrow of powers and authorities. An important thing that we have to understand about what Christ did is that there's this movement from darkness to light. There's a victory that takes place over the enemy. When someone comes to Christ, there is a turning from sin to Christ. But also, there's a turning from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, from idols to serve the living and true God. There's a rescue from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God. For everyone who accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the enemy is forced to relax his hold on their life, and the superior power of Jesus Christ is demonstrated. He has to let go. The sermon title this morning is Speak Rather of Victory. Life is full of conflict. It was this way for Jesus Christ, and it's this way for us today. We sometimes think the conflict has escalated, but the conflict is just as real now as it's ever been. But as Christians, we're part of the victory. We are victorious because Christ is victorious. We're not victorious in and of ourselves, but we are victorious as we live in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus was raised from the dead, he is now seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And we see in Ephesians 2, 4, and 6, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. If Christ is sitting on the throne and we are in Christ, we are sitting on the throne. We have the power to overcome the enemy. If God has placed everything under the feet of Christ Jesus, then guess what? It's under our feet as well. If I was in a real African church now somewhere, I might have some snakes running around and I'd stand on them victoriously. But that would not fly well on YouTube. The challenge is that even though the devil has been defeated, he has not conceded defeat. He's been overthrown, but he's not been fully eliminated. He still wields great power. We feel this as we live life. We are victorious, but we are told to put on the full armor of God. We are in a battle, and the battle is with spiritual principalities and powers. But, and here's a beautiful scripture, we have received the mark of the Holy Spirit. As we step into Christ, there is a mark that is placed on it. On us. We don't see it. We always fear the mark of the beast in the book of Revelation. But this is what happens with Christians. We step into Christ and there's a mark placed on us. And in the spiritual realm, whatever looks at us goes, child of the Most High God, child of the Most High God, because of the mark. What does the mark look like? It doesn't say. But we are marked. Ephesians 1:13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Wow. Sometimes I wish I could see into the spiritual realm just to kind of get a real sense of what this means. But what it does mean is that we have a mark that speaks of who we are and who owns us, who we belong to. And if we find ourselves in a difficult place, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. Powerful words. That's why we speak victory, because the evil one cannot harm us. We've just finished a study in our small group, and one of the sessions was about the power of Satan and the power of God. And the illustration that the person used was that the power of God is like an atomic bomb, and the power of Satan is like an ant. We sometimes think that they have the same power. Only God is all-knowing. Only God is all-seeing. Only God is all-powerful. Satan is not. We do find ourselves in a place of tension. 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. We find ourselves in this place between the already and the not yet. A challenging place for us sometimes, a real place. In the book of Revelation, we read about the victory of God in the most vivid way. The word victory appears more in the book of Revelation than in any other books in the New Testament. Here's a quick synopsis. It starts with the introduction of Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, the first and the last, the living one. That's who this book is written about. In the seven letters to the seven churches, which I've told you about already, each one ends with a promise to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes. Christ is shown sharing God's throne in heaven. Jesus is portrayed as the lion and the lamb. We read about the red dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan. There's a war, and the dragon and his angels are defeated. They are defeated by the blood of the lamb. Revelation 12, verse 12 says this, therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. He's filled with fury. That's what he has. A roaring lion looking for people to devour. A noisy one sent to disrupt our paths. He's defeated, but he's full of fury. Jesus has defeated Satan, and one day will altogether destroy him. So how do we speak rather of victory? Two things that I want to leave you with this morning. The first thing is found in 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Now the important part, resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Resist him. Stand firm. Resist the devil and he will flee. We know that. We take our stand against him. We have the mark of the Holy Spirit. We have the power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. We put on the full armor of God, knowing that we can stand up against all the attacks of the enemy. When Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, guess what he meant? All authority. How much authority does the devil have? No authority. If Jesus had all the authority, what's left? There's nothing left. No authority. So resist the devil. And then proclaim Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, verse 26, we read about this conversion and what Paul has to do. I'll rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and the place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So there's this moment where we share and people go from darkness to light, from the clutches of Satan to the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what happens when we proclaim. So we resist and we share. We turn people from darkness to light. We point them towards the cross. We turn them from the power of Satan to the power of God. These words in Revelation are still true, Revelation 12, verse 11. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. I had a time of going back to some of my favorite 80s music this week as I was preparing, and I got stuck on a guy that really shaped my life when I was a young Christian. His name was Carmen, and you might know Carmen from back in the day. Yes, there's some thumbs up, and people are... But he would say this: when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Then I landed up in Petra, so I'm a punk rocker and a rocker, so that was part of my defining time, and the song that they sang was, "No weapon formed against us shall prosper," and that's a quote from Isaiah 54, verse 17. And the words are, "No weapon formed against us shall prosper. All those who rise up against us shall fall. I will not fear what the devil may bring me. I am a servant of God. I am a servant of God." So can I encourage you today, speak rather of victory. Speak rather of victory.